Welcome, everybody. Our topic tonight is Higher Than All the Nations. And this is from Psalm 113, the exhortation for everyone, everywhere, at all times, to praise the Lord. And this psalm is called one of the Hallow Psalms. Buddy, would you lead us off with the Lord's Prayer, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Dan, would you start us off with hymn number 634, please?
We praise thee, O God, for the days of our youth, for the bright lamp that shineth, the word of thy truth. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, we sing. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Our praise now we bring. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now born above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, we sing. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Our praise now we bring. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, we sing. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Our praise now we bring. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, we sing. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Our praise now we bring.
Amen. Thank you. This psalm is a psalm of praise. Dan, would you read it for us tonight? The first five verses, please.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high?
Amen. Thank you. This emphasizes the fact that the Lord is high above all the nations. And this date in history that we commemorate is an illustration of that fact. It was on February the 20th, the year 1962, that a Cuban pastor by the name of Noble Alexander was imprisoned. He was arrested for preaching a sermon. He had preached a sermon that Satan had sought to exalt himself to be equal with God. And that was the reason for his judgment, the reason for his fall. But the Cuban communists regarded that as an attack on Castro. They thought that he was issuing a veiled reference to the Cuban dictator. So they arrested him on that date. They held him in prison after much torturing and much maltreatment. And in 1963, he was brought to trial. The Cuban authorities accused him of plotting to assassinate Fidel Castro in 1963. And Noble Alexander said, I admit to be a spiritual being, but I cannot be in two places at the same time. And they asked him, the prosecutor asked him what he meant by that. And he said, well, I've been here in this prison since February 20th of 1962, last year. And yet you accuse me of attempting to plot to assassinate Fidel Castro now. He says that's totally impossible. But he had a court-appointed attorney, a communist puppet, and the attorney said, Your Honor, this man is guilty of all that you have accused him of, but I recognize the mercy of this court, and though he is worthy of death, I request that he be sentenced to 20 years in prison. The sentence was handed out, and he was sentenced to 20 years. But he rejoiced because he knew that he had been sentenced not for real crimes. They charged him with three offenses: plotting to assassinate Castro, aiding and abetting revolutionaries, and distributing opium to the people of Cuba. But in communist jargon, opium is religion, or Christianity in particular. And he knew that he was guilty of nothing in reality against the Cuban government other than preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was continually mistreated. At one point, he was thrown in an icy lake until he was unconscious. He was left in isolation, at one point up to 2 years, for concealing a Bible in prison. At another point, he was wounded as a guard shot into a prayer group in the prison. But he witnessed to many prisoners throughout his 20 years. He actually served two more years than the 20 that were sentenced. And in 1984, he was released in a 26-prisoner exchange with the United States. And he came to New York. He wrote a book entitled, I Will Die Free. And he died in 2002. But he proved that the Lord Jesus Christ is higher than all the nations. And even his servants who are incarcerated for their faith have a higher hope than the favor of a communist dictatorship. So thus we remember the faith and the service of Pastor Noble Alexander. Tonight we have the 113th Psalm. And one of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer that Buddy said tonight is, Hallowed be thy name. And that's another way of saying praise the name of the Lord. To hold it in high regard, in reverence. To regard it as holy. And this 113th Psalm is one of three series of psalms that is called the Hallows. Actually, Psalm 113 through 118 is called the Egyptian Hallow because it was used in conjunction with the Passover, their deliverance from bondage and captivity in Egypt. It was traditionally sung, Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the Passover meal. Psalm 115 through 118 were sung after the completion of the meal. And it was this psalm that was sung by the Lord and his disciples on the night of his betrayal, according to Matthew 26:30 and Mark 14:26. But this psalm is a commitment not only on the part of the psalmist to praise the Lord, but also an exhortation to others to praise his name. It's also interesting to note that this psalm, verse 1, starts out with a triplicate of praise. A call to praise the Lord, to praise ye servants, the Lord. In other words, all the servants of God have an obligation to praise him. And then to praise his name. So there's a repetition, three calls to praise. And some regard that as an exhortation to praise the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And therefore, the thrice repeated instruction to praise the Lord. But the resolution to praise his name is an important part of our worship, because by studying and knowing the names of God that are revealed in Scripture, we learn more of his character, more of the attributes. And as we look at the attributes of God, the attributes of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we find that all three persons of the Trinity share equally in all of the attributes, all of the powers, all of the characteristics of our great God. The psalm reminds us that all people everywhere have an obligation to praise the Lord. Wherever we are, whoever we are, it's not restricted to one location, one city, one country. The Jews had the misconception that they were the focal point of the worship of the true God. But even from the time of Abraham, and even before that actually, but especially from the covenant promises made to Abraham, that there would be a seed of many nations, and that there would be an innumerable number of followers of the true God from every nation and every kindred and every tribe. And thus, the reality of the praise from all peoples, all people everywhere. It's also a commitment to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord from this time forward. And this actually makes reference in two phases. First of all, it's a recognition that ever since the creation, that all of God's creatures have an obligation to praise Him. The question was posed to Job when he was having advice to turn away from the true God, to question the purpose of God and the providence of God in allowing all of his sufferings. God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" He's reminding Job of his sovereignty over all things. And that realization that he only allows that in the lives of his people that is designed for the glory of God and ultimately for our good. Romans 8:28. So, from this time forward is not only the responsibility of all creatures and all of God's creation to worship Him, but in particular for the people of God, it is an urgent matter for every Christian from the point of our salvation, from the point in where we repent and turn from our sins, to exalt His name, to acknowledge His goodness and His greatness in our lives, and from that point forward and forevermore to praise Him. And this isn't restricted just to our physical lifespan, but it says forevermore. And this is a reality that for the people of God, our praise, our songs and our exaltation of the name of the Lord will not stop at the point of our physical death. For at that point, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And we are told that from that point forward, we will be with Him for eternity. And we will sing His praises forevermore. This psalm reminds us that He is higher than all the nations. And this is important for not only Christians to understand in a time where human governments seem to be usurping the role of God. Even those which give lip service to religion and Christianity oftentimes in practice try to make themselves God. And many times the politicians in Washington or the politicians in Harrisburg think that they're little gods, that they are endowed with powers beyond what the Constitution allows them to hold. and they seize every opportunity to expand their influence and their control on every crisis, every catastrophe, every pestilence, or every disease. We see that in this current COVID crisis with the efforts of many governors and even Washington to clamp down on the freedoms of the people of this country under the name of public health and safety. But governments of men typically seize every such opportunity to expand their control. But this is a reminder to us that the God that we serve is higher than the governments of all the nations. And His glory exceeds not only the most powerful kings or the most wealthy individuals, but His glory is greater than the heavens. The psalmist declared that the heavens declare His majesty, and the firmament is His handiwork. This marvelous creation that He has given is a testament to His power and His creativity and His omniscience. And therefore, it's a reminder to us of the great glory that belongs to Him and to Him alone. We read here in this passage that he's to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And that too has a couple of applications. It has to do with not only the entire day, in whatever circumstance, in whatever situation we find ourselves, we are to praise Him continually. But the rising of the sun and the going down of the sun also has to do with the expanse of the earth. There are people in various locations around the globe, and from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, this makes reference to the responsibility of everybody everywhere to praise Him. And therefore, we are reminded of the urgency, the responsibility, and the divine command to praise His holy name. When we acknowledge His name, we acknowledge His power, we acknowledge His attributes. The names that are given to us throughout Scripture: the great I Am, the one who is everlasting, the one who is the provider, the one who is eternal, the one who is our Lord, our Master. All of these names of God give us some insight into His character, into His works, into His power. And thus, when we see that power revealed to us, we have no alternative but to bow in reverence and to exalt His holy name. And this passage concludes with, "There is none like our God." The question is, who is like the Lord our God? And the answer, of course, is not no one. No idol created by man can have any comparison to the God of the Bible. They are dumb. They have no ability to move, no ability to hear, no ability to speak. And therefore, they are worthy of no worship. But even the lesser spirit beings, Satan and his demon friends, they are not as powerful. They are not all-powerful as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have been delegated certain authority. Even Satan is called the God of this world. But he has power only in so much as is granted to him. And the Bible describes him as being a roaring lion that is chained. He has limitations. He cannot do whatever he wants to do. He cannot be everywhere at the same time. And therefore, God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. And therefore, there is none like unto Him. And therefore, He is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Dan, would you close with hymn 683?
nation. Hail him, hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
The Bible says that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And as that benediction from Numbers, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you peace. Amen. Do we have any thoughts tonight regarding